This is the Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. If you're in Ann Arbor, you're in Traverse City, or everywhere in between, we're smoking up your backyard. We are getting ready for deer camp. I am giddy like a schoolgirl, man, just getting this stuff all together and thinking about it, and I'm excited. I want to get out there and make it happen. And like we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, I'm more of the camp cook, the camp guy. Bob, he's the hardcore hunter. And he gets out. He'll go up 3-4 days ahead of time and, you know, scout the woods out, get his stand set up and stuff. And that's just not how I roll. I'm more there for the camaraderie and the buddies and cooking, maybe a little drinking. And, you know, I'd get out and do a little road hunting maybe. But that's just how
I roll.
Did
you get any yet? Get any road yet?
Yeah. It's a little chewy.
Ted's dad, before he passed away, he would just be amazed because I'd always be climbing trees to hunt. And he was kind of a quiet guy, you know, and when he said something, it was generally, you couldn't tell if he was joking or not, but he'd say, "You're like a monkey." It's because I'm up in the tree.
Yeah.
It's a little dangerous, but you got to wear your harness.
Right.
Got to wear the harness.
A great safety tip there, Bob. Great safety tip, because you know what, guys? Things happen. It's frosty in the morning. The tree limb's a little slippery. Your steps are a little slippery, whatever it may be. You get excited when you're reaching out to maybe get that shot around that tree limb or what have you, and you know, you could slip and fall easy. Wear those harnesses. An accident is waiting to happen, and just be careful.
I got a new blind from my buddy Todd Hagedorn over in Holland, and it's called a sling blind.
Okay.
And it's a climber, and it's got this like hammock that you sit in, and it is so cool. It's quite the contraption. It's a bit to carry, but once you get it all put together and you get it around your tree, you just leave it there and you go up and down the same tree all day.
Sure.
Or day after day, I should say. And it's going to be quite an experience, because like for pines, and I got some pines where I hunt.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice and just like ease right up there and sit in a nice big hammock, and it's going to be comfortable.
You know,
we need to learn about charcuterie here, Jop.
We do. And that's one of those safety things that you need to be taken into account. And one of the safety things that we're going to talk about is how to handle our venison too. And right now on the grilling line, we've got Curtis Sears, who's from the Old World Olive Press, and he's not only going to talk about handling our venison, but what is this charcuterie stuff? Curtis, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about charcuterie.
Charcuterie started, the guy who was taking all the scraps, and the head of the kitchen said, "Do something with it by morning. You know, we don't want to throw this stuff away."
Scraps of what?
Of everything. It could have been from when the butcher was done, whatever scraps of meat were left over. Could have actually been leftovers from the table. And it was a time when they didn't want to throw anything away.
Just like now.
So these are the guys that were taking that stuff and they were making sausage out of it. And you know, they were finding a way to take those bits and make something beautiful out of them. And it's really turned into, if you're salting, if you're curing, if you're smoking, if you're making something like sausages, you're making bacons, you know, things like that, then you're doing charcuterie.
Hey, Curtis, it's Bob. Good to talk to you again. Your degree is actually, you have an emphasis in charcuterie, actually a culinary school that specializes in that, in schoolcraft.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And that's a very cool, I mean, for us, very cool thing to discover, because I didn't realize there was a school in Michigan that had that emphasis.
It's rare, actually. A lot of the cooking schools around the country will touch on this, but they have a major focus with Chef Brian Polson, who's one of the most famous charcuteries in the country.
He's a big deal.
He's a very big deal, and for these people to get to go there and learn from him is really pretty much amazing. He takes from everything from, you know, breaking down a whole hog, which they're bringing to class, and he shows them how to get the most out of that. Doing all the other steps.
I think it's funny that you would say it's rare. Anyway, so we're talking about venison like crazy, because Jop and I are both going into rut right now, and these guys that are getting ready to prepare their venison, I'm really into aging my venison.
Right.
And you and I had a great conversation yesterday about it. So share a little bit of that conversation about the proper care and treatment of an animal, and especially if you want to try and age some venison.
Right. Well, keep in mind, there's wet aging, there's dry aging. And wet aging is usually what you find in the grocery store, okay, where they butcher down the animal and they cryovac it up and then refrigerate it like that. And then you end up with a nice tender piece of meat, but it's flavorless. let's be honest. With something like game, you have a totally different type of muscle there. Okay, the beef you find in our stores, that cow hasn't, you know, been running around in the woods trying to find a way to survive. But the venison, it's a very lean piece of meat. It's a really fit piece of meat, and it's a piece of meat that has a great deal of flavor to it already. Okay, and what we're going to want to do with this is we're actually going to want to dry age that instead of wet age it. You're going to want to keep your muscle groups whole. You're not going to want to put like individual steaks and dry age them. You're going to put like the whole loin piece in there or the whole shoulder piece. You're going to leave the silver skin on it. Okay, you're not going to want to trim them down. Because in the dry aging process, you're going to lose 15 to 20% of the meat, both through shrinkage and through trimming when you're done dry aging. So the idea is to take that whole cut, put it in your fridge. You can put it on a rack and keep it in the lowest part of the fridge, or wrap it in clean cotton cloth. And every day you're going to want to change that cloth. And age it for about a week. Okay, keeping your fridge from about the mid-30s, about that temperature, go for about a week. You're not going to salt it. You're not going to put any sort of seasoning or anything on it, because that's not what this point is about. This point is just about letting the meat make itself tender. Because venison being really lean, there's a real tendency for it to be, say, like overcooked and be tough. The same thing can happen with a dry aging. If you let it go too long, you're going to start making jerky.
Hey, Curtis.
And that's what... Yeah.
One of the things that I've heard, and I want you to confirm or deny it, is that you don't want to put this in like your regular working refrigerator. You'd like to put it in a garage fridge if you have, because what you don't want is the constant opening and closing of the door and the temperature fluctuating on this dry aging process. If you could put it in a garage fridge and maybe you only open that once a day when you're going to change that cloth out, that'll help in this aging process. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. If you can open it once a day, that's good. Okay, and it's good to keep an eye on it. A lot of this is going to be done by touch. Okay, I mean, if you can squeeze that meat, okay, and your thumbprint kind of stays in the meat, then you're probably getting to the right point. If it bounces right back, like a fresh roast wood, it needs to stay in there a little longer. But yeah, think of it like your smoker. You don't want to open your smoker up too often.
Right.
You
know, so what is this actually doing? What's the process that's actually happening to the meat over this 5, 6, 7 days? And why is it, what's the benefit of doing this?
It's rigor mortis, isn't it?
This is after rigor mortis. Okay, rigor mortis sets in quickly after death and then fades within about 24 hours. Okay, this is an enzyme thing where, okay, it's going to sound awful, but it's kind of a controlled rot. It's the meat breaking itself down. And this is where the tenderness, and I've got a lot of ideas like that we don't want to think about, but that's really what's happening. The idea is you want the enzymes to work in there, but you don't really want like a bacterial or a microbial thing happening inside there.
That's why you don't want to open it all the time.
Exactly. Now, that's going to happen on the outside. It's not unusual for the outside to have mold. It's not unusual for the outside to get almost like a slime on it. That's okay. If that happens, don't say to yourself, oh, well, this is no good.
So people can meet you at the Old World Olive Press in the Birmingham branch, and that's right near your home. Curtis, we're going to be talking again. You are a treasure for our state, and I really loved talking to you yesterday. We had a great conversation about smoking meats, and we're going to do it again. So we are up against a hard break, and we're going to let you go. But thanks so much for taking time with us this morning.
Absolutely. Great talking to you guys.
Okay, that's Curtis Sievers, and he is from Old World Olive Press. Now, listen, Tuesday is vote time. Everybody's got to go out and do their civic duty. Don't forget to vote, all right? We have to get this country squared away, so you know what to do.
You've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Michigan Talk Network. Next week, we're going to be at the Canonsburg Gristmill, and then after that, the Grilling Guys are going to take a week off. We're going to do the Best of the Grilling Guys show because we are going to be up in the Northwoods doing our thing and getting our hunt on, and we'll bring back lots of great stories and recipes from you. Thanks for listening. We'll be talking with you a little later.
That's right, and say no to socialism.
Grillin' Guys on the Michigan Talk Network.